Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazeen astafa. Amma abad fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. والله يقبض ويبسط وإليه ترجعون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, from amongst the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have two very beautiful attributes. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Qabidhu and Al-Basitu. Al-Qabidhu and Al-Basitu. Both of these names have been mentioned independently and separately in the chain of the beautiful names of Asma'ul Husna. But however, the two are inseparable, and these two names have a very unique connection, and therefore inshallah, perhaps it's better for me to explain the two in one session or even two sessions. Al-Qabidhu Al-Basitu. Al-Basit, we have heard of a very famous Qari, an Egyptian, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status in Jannah, Qari Abdul Basit, rahmatullah alayh, a well-known Qari. And so Abdul Basit, Al-Basitu, means the slave of Al-Basit, the servant of Al-Basit. And so the meaning of Al-Qabidhu Al-Basitu. Al-Qabidh means to tighten something, to withhold, to restrict, to constrict, to close something. In Urdu we would say Qabza kar lena. In Urdu we would say Qabza kar lena. And so Al-Qabidhu means to withhold, to constrict, to restrict, to restrain, to make something a bit tight, and to lock something. So that is the meaning of Al-Qabidhu. Al-Basitu is the complete opposite. Al-Basitu means something that is unlocked, something that is open, something that is spread out, something that opens out. And perhaps the one translation that can be given to Al-Basitu is that Allah is the expander. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the expander. And so we need to understand, mashallah, these two very beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because, subhanallah, the lives of every one of us actually revolves around these two conditions. Constriction and expansion. Constriction and expansion. Every day, you will see that a person's mood changes, and his day will be different. Why? Because of constriction, expansion. Something is tight, something is loose. Tight, loose, tight, loose, tight, loose. And when you say tight, it means that your chest is tight, you're not happy, there is some difficulty. It's a bit of doom and gloom for you, for that day, a bit difficult. And then al-basit, again it opens up, again you see light at the end of the tunnel, again you see something different, again you feel happy, again you feel, mashallah, you've got something to rejoice of. And so it's all about qabz and bast, qabz and bast. Al-qabidhu al-basitu, al-qabidhu al-basitu. And so understand that like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Malik al-Mulk, as in He has the power and He possesses everything. In the very same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to dispossess everything. He has the power also to dispossess everything from individuals. And so there is one very beautiful ayat of the Quran, very beautiful ayat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling all of humanity who they really are. And so Allah is saying, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, antumul fuqara. Antumul fuqara. All of you. Antum. All of you are fuqara. All of you are in need of Allah. You are faqir. That is your status. Your status is given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Antumul fuqara. You are a faqir. Faqir. Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Madzillahu al-Ali, very often in his kitab you'll find that the first title he gives to himself is Faqir Zulfiqar Ahmad. Faqir. So he said this in his bayan that Allah has given me a label. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara. And I want to use that label. And so you are in need of Allah. Wallahu huwal ghani. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from need. Wallahu huwal ghani. Allah is free from need. Al-Hamid. And He is Al-Hamid, the praiseworthy. He is free from need, the praiseworthy, Al-Hamid. What a beautiful ayat. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara. And so Allah has the control of every cell of your body, every drop of blood in your body that is in the full control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has the full control. We need to understand that generally, pleasure, comfort in this life that is given is by the name al-basitu, something that is open in front of you, something that you can see and it is open up, it is opened in front of you. So for an example, your children are in front of you, you can see them, they are in front of you, your household possessions which give you comfort, luxury in your life, that is in front of you, accessible to you. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a zat that can only sort of constrict, withhold and open something for you and expand something for you in tangible items, but also in items that are intangible. Tangible and intangible. So at every level Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that power. That is why in one verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, إِنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. إِنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. It is Allah who makes you laugh and it is Allah who makes you cry. Allah who makes you laugh and Allah who makes you weep. Now if you have a look, subhanallah, insan is in a way subjected to these two conditions all his life. All his life. He's subjected to these two conditions all his life. Subhanallah al-Azim. Just to give you a few examples so that we actually understand the meaning of qabz and the meaning of busts, that this affects every individual in his every facet of life, whatever he is doing. So give you one example. Let's take an example of how al-qabidhu and al-basitu comes into action in knowledge. In knowledge, sometimes you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the ability, and so Allah expands for you this ability to understand everything that is being said to you. Not necessarily just Islamic knowledge, it could be your subjects that you are taught in your university. And so the most difficult formula that is being lectured by a lecturer, one shot and you will understand. You've understood the whole theory, everything. You understand it. Allah has given you that ability. At that moment, your condition is of al-bast, that Allah has opened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you an opportunity. Allah has expanded for you to take that knowledge. And sometimes what happens, even the very basic, a man will not understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has constricted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is withholding for you that. So you won't understand. It happens a lot of the times. Sometimes you will find a man or a talib ilm who is doing hifz of the Quran, in 10 minutes he can memorize 13 lines, one side. 15 minutes he knows the whole side. One day he can memorize in 15 minutes. The whole side he knows it. Subhanallah. All of a sudden, al-basitu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up everything for him. He is now he's experiencing the name of Allah, that attribute which is al-bast, where Allah is expanding everything to him. 15 minutes, 13 lines he knows. Why, you didn't wake up, you just came in the class, you know it, huh? And sometimes 2.5 hours he can't learn half a side. 2.5 hours he is spending, but he can't learn half a side. Al-qabz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has closed that. Sometimes when he is praying namaz, subhanallah, he feels that he is very, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has opened everything for him. And sometimes again he feels very, very restricted. So insan is actually subjected to these two conditions all the time, and he needs to understand this. You see, a lot of the times you'll find some people are dejected, they are depressed, and they run there and they run there, and Allahu Akbar. What we need to understand is the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is a reason for everything that is happening. There is a reason. Another example that one can give is the condition of the heart. Everything is with the heart. You will find some people that they have everything. Name, fame, money, wealth. They have a house here in England. Everywhere, in every country they have a house. They have everything. Allah has given them everything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has closed the heart. What has Allah done? Closed the heart. Al-qabidhu. Allah has closed it. Whatever the reason, we'll come to that later on. But Allah has closed the heart. With everything that he has, he wants to commit suicide. Can you imagine that? By what is it that you want? Is there anything that you want? Allah has given you everything. You have everything, but he wants to commit suicide. Allahu Akbar. He's just not happy. Al-Qabz. Allah has closed it. There is no medication for that. There is no tablet. Maybe something just to, take care of your body muscles and so that you feel relaxed and you want to sleep and, all these artificial methods. But in reality, nothing can cure you from the foundation. Nothing. Subhanallah al-Azim. And vice versa, you'll find sometimes people who don't have nothing whatsoever. But they are smiling, laughing and enjoying life and as if, mashallah, nothing has hit them in life and they are enjoying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up one condition for them, al-bast, so they are experiencing something for that period of time. How long? That is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So understand first the meaning of qabz and understand the meaning of bast. And for the believers, this is something very, very important for us to understand. What is the meaning of al-qabidhu and what is the meaning of al-basitu? Now, perhaps the question is that why does insan go through this condition? Why is he subjected to these two conditions? Sometimes he feels happy when the situation is of bust, everything that is open up for him, he feels that his chest is open, and sometimes he feels that his chest is tight, restricted, and he is unhappy and nothing's working out well for him. And so understand the meaning of Ya Qabidhu. Why? The answer to this is, answer number one, the ulama give. That is the prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is in His knowledge. That is in His knowledge. Al-Alim. Because Allah is Al-Alim. He has the knowledge of everything. Why did He make that individual a Hafiz of the Quran? Why is that man a doctor? Why is that man a businessman? Why is that man a muazzin? Why is that man in that profession? Why is that man in that profession? Everything, the taqseem, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided the portion for every individual, it is not for insan to understand. It is not for insan to understand. However, what insan needs to know is that Allah is Rahman and Rahim. He is the most merciful. And whatever is given to you as a portion, that is there for a reason. That is there for a reason. However, just to perhaps simplify it for you even more, so that we understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very merciful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make sure that every individual is straight on sirat-e mustaqim, upon the straight path. That he is firm upon the straight path. So in order for him to walk on the straight path, sometimes different conditions and situations are thrown at him. And so it's like this internal gauge that you are born with. It's a bit like an internal gauge that you are born with. Or it is like a medicine that is given to you. Sometimes the pill, you can't take it. It's bitter. But however, long term it is good for you. Take it for now. The taste is not good. But it is good for you long term. And so for an example, a simple example that we can give you, is imagine one man out of anger, not realizing, he started swearing at his friend. Galiya nikali usne dost ko. He started swearing all of a sudden. And he said a lot of hurtful words to that person. And so that person walked away. Now the first condition is that, of course, what had happened to him, he was just a normal individual, happy, whatever. Then all of a sudden something triggered and he started swearing at somebody. And then when he goes back home, possibly the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-qabidhu, is now reacting inside him. Al-qabidhu is reacting inside him. So when he goes back at home, now he feels that his chest is tight, his mood is different, people are talking to him, is everything okay? No, it's okay. He's not happy, he hasn't got a smile on his face. But why? Now there's remorse, now there is regret, now what I did was wrong. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? To have remorse, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Of course it's a good thing. So now, although Al-Qabidhu is working and reacting inside him, but it's good. Why? Because he's got that feeling, at least maybe that feeling will give him the strength to go to that person to apologize. So he will go to him and say, "Bhai, you know what? I am really sorry for what I said to you today. Please forgive me. Please forgive me." So that is the condition. So it's a good condition. Imagine if this condition that Allah has put inside us as human beings, if it was not with us, what would happen? Every guna that you do, every sin that you commit, there is no remorse. There is no regret. And if there's no remorse, there is no regret, then there is no tawbah. And if there's no tawbah, then obviously you will never ever return back to Sirat-e-Mustaqim, to the right path. And if you're never ever going to return back to Sirat-e-Mustaqim, that means you have taken the path of the Dalin at the Maghdub, and that path will take you to Jahannam. And therefore, all of these conditions that are in human beings, in a way, that is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many times we see that a person is off track, off track, off track, off track. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring him back to track, to the right path. And something happens to him. Something hits him. Maybe some form of a tragedy, some difficulty, something that has happened. And this would be a turning point in his life. Why? Because now perhaps the end is very close. The end is very close. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give him something. And so these are the things that perhaps the human mind cannot understand. But just for us to see and view that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qabidhu and al-basitu. Whatever is happening, if it is al-qabidhu, then don't worry. A time will come that Allah will also open it up for you, because there's always light at the end of the tunnel. Now, what are we to do in a situation when we find ourselves to be distressed and we suffer from anxiety and there's a bit of pressure, and it might be long-term pressure, long-term anxiety? Now, how shaitan actually works, sometimes when a difficulty comes, the shaitan makes him feel that everyone around me is bad. What shaitan makes him feel? Everyone around me is bad. And then a time comes when he says, right, I even give talaq to the masjids. I give talaq to the masjids. And so, slowly he stops going to the masjid. Slowly he stops reading the Quran. Instead of getting closer, what shaitan is making him do is to react adversely. To react adversely. Complete opposites. This is very, very dangerous, and this happens. Something happens to him. All of a sudden he was coming to the masjid all the time. Now, some difficulty might come to him. All of a sudden you see him vanish. He's gone. Rabbi, where is he gone? Go to his house, buy the bichara, you know, he's going through difficulty, you know, the tax man is after him. Example. What can I say? The tax man is after him. So he's in a bit of a difficulty. So now he's not coming to the masjid. He's not coming anywhere. Are bhai, what is this? You should be now coming more to the masjid. You should be now turning more to Allah. This is a testing time for you. Oh, you know, this happened. This calamity happened. I wanted this to happen. It didn't happen. But now you should come more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what shaitan makes a person do is tells him to take a U-turn elsewhere. And the minute he takes U-turn elsewhere, he's gone. That is why it's very, very important to understand, my respected brothers and elders, the meaning of Al-Qabisu, Al-Qabidu, and Al-Basitu. Always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand this dunya is Darut Taklif. Dunya is Darut Taklif. And we are not to be inquisitive of everybody and everything that is happening around us. We should only be inquisitive of what is happening with us. Forget everybody else. By you do your namaz, you do your stuff. Because by you judging other people, who are you to judge? Maybe in 2 days that person will become the best of the best, and you might become the most evil, who knows? Because you judge people in the wrong way. Remember that person who came to Isa alayhi salam and said that, oh, you know, that man is a pious man and that person is an evil person. But that was just to the eyes, perhaps he didn't know what was going to happen in the future. So he said to Isa alayhi salam, you know, make dua that in the hereafter, I am with that person, but not with that evil person. I am with the pious person. At this moment he is pious. At this moment he has the big jabba, whatever. At this moment he is pious. And at this moment, this man, I'm not pointing at any of you guys, eh? At this moment, that person, you know, and he's an evil man. So he came, he's rushing everything. You know, Isa alayhi salam, make dua. Isa alayhi salam said, okay, I make dua. Nabi lifts up his hands and says, by Allahu Akbar, Allah Pak, in the hereafter, don't make these two people be together. It so happens that the evil man took a change, mashallah, Allah transformed him. He became very, very pious. The one who was pious became evil. And both of them are to be together in Jahannam, and that man who was evil will be in Jannah. But because the Nabi made a dua, what happens? So we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers and elders. What we have to do is that if a person is going through some difficulty, then of course you can't just say, oh, you know, this is just qabz, don't worry about it, it will go away. No, no, he's a human being, give him the pillow, give him the cushion, give him that love. And how do you give him the love? You tell him, bhai, don't worry. You know, turn to Allah, do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now a beautiful example is given of that. In the Quran, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, you've heard of Musa alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the most difficult job. Oh, very difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, Izhab ila Fir'aun. Oh, Musa, go to Fir'aun. Now imagine, if somebody tells you, go to your boss. You know, sometimes going to your boss can be a mission. And if you're in trouble or something like that, if you know the mood of your boss, go to your boss. Just going to your boss for ijazat can be difficult. You know, I want some holidays. Go to your boss. Can be difficult. Here Allah Pak is saying, Izabila Fir'aun. Go to Fir'aun. Bari Ta'ala, go to Fir'aun. Izabila Fir'aun, innahu tagha. This man has deviated. Fakul hallaka ila antazakka wa ahdiyaka ila rabbika fataksha. Now when this order was given to Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam felt that the chest was tight. The chest was tight, constricted. Everything was locked inside. Especially of the history, what had happened, Musa alayhi salam. Remember, he slapped that person and then Musa alayhi salam had to leave. And we've heard of that story. And then now he has to return back to Fir'aun, because the only language Fir'aun knew was to kill. The only language he knew was to kill. That's all he knew. For him was to kill and kill. Bas. And now Musa alayhi salam, Allah is saying, go. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Musa alayhi salam, what does he do? The first thing what the Nabi does, look at this. He sits down and he says, Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي.
Beautiful.
Oh my Allah, expand my chest for me. I'm feeling it a bit tight. I'm a human being going to Fir'aun, a man ferocious, a man zalim, who is known for the evil. I'm going to him. I'm feeling a bit tight-chested. Allah, expand my chest. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. Oh Allah, ease my task for me. Ease my task given to me. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remove the luknat, the impediment from my mouth. Remove that luknat, the impediment from my mouth. Remove it. Because when he used to speak, there was a bit of a difficulty. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. Oh Allah, so that he understands me. Here we see, what does the Nabi do the first thing? Goes back to Allah. Goes back to Allah. When we go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives you relief. What does he give you? Relief. Adam alayhi salam, Allah tells him, eat, you know, an abundance of blessings was given to him. Imagine to be in one portion of Jannah. Everything you have access to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, Adam, just don't eat from this tree, bus. Everything else is for you. Adam alayhi salatu was salam, unintentionally, the lapse that can occur, forgetfulness, insan can forget. He was in Jannah for such a long period of time, did not realize. The Quran says, fanasiya, he forgot. A Nabi does not commit a sin, he forgot. And by mistake, he ate from that tree, khaliya. And he came down, oh ho, when he came to this world, now that regret, that remorse, who does he turn back to? Allah. Going back to Allah Pak, Allah Pak. Ya Allah, forgive me, Allah forgive me. Look at that, going back to Allah. And Nabi is going back to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved that amal, that action so much, that Allah taught him a dua. Qala. And Allah said that you and your wife, both of you say, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh Allah, we have wronged ourselves. Oh Allah, if you don't forgive us, if you don't show mercy to us, we will be from amongst the losers. We will be from amongst the losers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took that Nabi towards him. So this is what we have to do. Unfortunately with us, because our iman is so weak, when something happens to us, Allahu Akbar, we react in a very difficult way. That is only going to be suicidal for us. Sometimes, aliyazu billah, insan thinks very negatively with even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why me? What has happened? Kya hua? Huh? Allahu Akbar. Very dangerous. And for my mothers and sisters listening at home, take control of your tongue. Take control of your tongue. Sometimes you are the reason of giving baddu'a to your own children. Because the du'a of a father and a mother is always accepted. That is the issue. Always accepted. The father and mother's du'a is very powerful. Think what you're saying. Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was in prison for a long period of time. And so when he was in prison, then obviously being a Nabi, he said to Bari Ta'ala, Ya Allah, you haven't forgotten me, I'm still in prison. Allah, I'm still in prison. It's been a long time, I'm still in Egypt in prison. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, Oh my Nabi Yusuf, you chose prison for yourself. What did he say? Oh my, open up 12th para, Surah Yusuf. Oh my Nabi, you chose prison for yourself. When the people of Egypt were calling you towards something that was evil, you said, I am happy with going to the prison. I am happy with going to the prison. But because you're a Nabi and this is what you chose, that is why you are there. Had you said, Oh Allah, give me afiyat. Allah, give me reprieve. Allah, give me safety, a safe passage. Allah, protection. If you had asked for afiyat, you would not be here. You would not be here. But Yusuf alayhi salam, of course, he's a Nabi of Allah, great Nabi. Allah said to him that you are there, not because of me, but these are the words that came out from your mouth first. There was this man, he was always ill, always ill. And it was like all the time the missiles would only be thrown at him. He was ill, difficulties would come to him. Every day was doom and gloom for this man. Difficulty, difficulty, difficulty. Once he was very ill, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to him to see him. You know, what's the matter with this man? Every day something evil is touching him. Something, some form of a calamity is touching him. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat next to him and said to him, how are you? He says, oh Nabi of Allah, look at my condition, look at this, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. And the list went on and on and on, this happened. Allah's Nabi said, stop. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, have you made dua? What have you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now things open up. Now when you interrogate, things open up. So Allah's Nabi said, think, what have you asked Allah Pak? So he thinks and he says, I must confess something. Bari, I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I said, Bari ta'ala, if you are, whatever punishment you are going to give me in the hereafter, whatever punishment you are going to give me in the hereafter, give everything in this dunya, nothing in the hereafter. Whatever punishment you are going to give me in the hereafter, save me in the hereafter and give all the punishment now, here. Allah's Nabi sallallahu. You see, this is the difference between an alim and someone who is not an alim. You know, you can be an abid, a worshipper. The difference is when you have knowledge. Ilm is nur. Ilm guides you. Bi fazlillah. By the mercy of Allah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh, this is not how you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your dua is accepted. This is the taklif you're suffering every day. Could you not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina azab an-nar? What a beautiful dua. Oh Allah, give me all the good in this dunya. Oh Allah, give me all the good in the hereafter. And oh Allah, save me from the punishment of hellfire. Could you not ask this dua? Where are you from this dua that you are so brave? You know, some people become very brave. Allah knows me, you know. I'm very good. Allah Pak knows me. What do you think you are? Sometimes they are saying something you don't even understand what they're saying. Allah Pak knows, Allah Pak knows. You know, our hearts are not like that. MashaAllah, blow your own trumpet. Allah Pak knows our hearts are not like that. And you are backbiting. I'm backbiting, but I'm not scared. I can speak in front of him. So what? I'm not, this is not backbiting. They become a mufti themselves. Eh? I'm not backbiting. I call him, I'll speak in front of him. Bye. Ye, bas choro bhai, tumhari sab bravery. Oh, Malakul Maut, you just look at Malakul Maut and everything will become dheela. Forget all that. Allah does not like such words coming out. Allah's Nabi disapproved of that. This is not something that is accepted in Sharia. Al-Qabidhu al-Basitu. Al-Qabidhu al-Basitu. Allahu Akbar. Understand? Whatever you say, Allah will grant you that. Whatever you say, Allah will grant you that. Whatever you say. Subhanallah al-Azim. Imam Tantawi rahmatullah alayh. He was actually a qadi in Syria. Bas, few more minutes. A judge in Syria. A grand qadi, judge. Imam Tantawi rahmatullah alayh writes that once with a group of friends we decided to go out and visit a friend who was living slightly far away from our locality. So all of these people, mashallah, a group of people with the qadi, Imam Tantawi himself, going out. So they got there and everybody was sitting and the idea was to spend the night there with that friend who was alone. MashaAllah, all of them were there. Imam Tantawi rahmatullah alayhi says, all of a sudden, a healthy man, He says, what happens to me is that I can't breathe. It's like as if somebody is choking me, suffocating me. I'm being choked. I just can't breathe. And so, Imam Tantawi says that I sought permission from the people that were there, that look, give me permission, let me go back. And so the friends were saying, no, Hazrat, you've come now and then you go. Please, you know, inshallah, you'll get better. Everything will be okay. Just wait. So Imam Tantawi rahmatullah alayhi says that it was like as if I was being suffocated. So he said to the friends, okay, give me permission. Let me go outside, get some fresh air. And inshallah, when it becomes easy for me to breathe, I'll come back to you. Imam Tantawi rahmatullah alayhi, it's dark in the night. And so he was walking. And in the night, Imam Tantawi rahmatullah alayhi could hear somebody crying. And this was the voice of a woman. So he looked back and he noticed that the voice was coming from behind. So Imam Tantawi, the Qazi, took the turn towards where this woman was crying. And so she was in a hijab, and Imam Tantawi from a distance said that, my dear sister, why are you crying? She was crying and making dua. And so he said that, can I be of help to you? What is the matter? What's happening? So this lady in burqa, she said, oh, my husband is an evil man, and he's thrown me out of his house, and he's taken qasam that you will never ever see my children, as in her children also. So he's taken the children and he's thrown me out of the house. I am here all alone in Sham. I have no family and I have no friends. It's dark in the night. What happens to me, Allah knows. So I'm sitting here crying to my Allah. I'm sitting here crying to my Allah. Ajeeb, subhanallah. You know, when you cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Tantawi rahmatullah alayhi, being a judge, said that, my dear sister, why don't you file a case against your husband? Islami hukumat, action will be taken. File a case, go to the judge. Now she was a simple lady. So she said to this man, you know, me going to the judge, that is impossible. How? I don't even know where the judge is and where the courts are. Imam Tantawi rahmatullah alayhi then started to cry. And Imam Tantawi says, in my heart I was wondering that I don't know what dua she must have made and how she must be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah dragged me out from my house to join with my friends. And then at the house I could not breathe. At the house I could not breathe. That was an excuse for me to come out. And this lady was crying and she needed help. And he was the greatest qazi of the time. And Allah brought the qazi of Sham to her doorstep in the jungle only by crying. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. And so understand this beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Qabidhu. The one who locks, the one who constricts. Why? So that we are firm upon the deen. The people who have iman, they are firm. They understand. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think what is happening out there. Ladies in bikini, your Facebook, your Instagram, your music, your actors, your dancing, all of these things that can give you eternal peace and sukoon and contentment, nothing. This is all but dhoka, ghurur. It is dhoka, it's there to deceive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it's a little test. You know when you go for blood test, you don't even realize that the needle is inside you. Is it painful, brothers? Some of you might scream, but in reality, it's not really. Just a simple blood test, you know. Just a bit of pain. Allah Pak is saying, bhai, compare hellfire. Compare hellfire to the taklif, to the difficulty of this dunya is nothing. Just a small prick. Just a prick, bas. You know, if you have diabetes, you have that pen. And so to measure your level of sugar. Bas. Enough blood, just a needle pricks you, bas. At one level. No pain. Allahu Akbar. This dunya is really even a ni'mah, a blessing for a Muslim. If you understand the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works, then just doing shikwa and thinking that as if, you know, everything is not right for me and nothing is fair for me, Allahu Akbar. Allah is very, very merciful. Allah is qabid and Allah is basit. There is just one side of this to explain also, that inshallah we will cover in the next session if Allah wills. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allah kareem, Allah kareem. Ye naujawan logo ki mehfil hai. Allah kareem, walidain bhi aaye hue hai, bachche bhi aaye hue hai. Allah kareem, har ek ko qabul farma. Allah kareem, har ek ko qabul farma. Allah hum sab ko tu ghani bana de, mustaghni bana de. Faqr o faqa se hamari hifazat farma, bimari se hamari hifazat farma. Allah kareem, اللہ کریم ہمیں حسن خاتمہ کی دولت نصیب فرما. اللہ کریم تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا. اللہ کریم جو مشکلات ہیں ان مشکلات کو دور فرما. اللہ کریم جو دنیا سے چلے گئے ان کی قبروں کو منور فرما. اللہ کریم ہمیں لمبی زندگی دے یا اللہ, ایسی زندگی کہ ہم اس میں خوب اللہ تیری عبادت کر سکے, اللہ تجھے راضی کر سکے. اللہ ہم سے کچھ کام لے لے یا اللہ, اللہ ہم سے کچھ کام لے لے. اللہ خود ہم ناقص ہے, گنہگار ہے, اللہ خود کچھ بھی نہیں کر سکتے. اللہ کریم جیسے وہ ماں جو اپنے بچے کو ہاتھ کو پکڑ پکڑ کر اس کو لے جاتی ہے, اللہ ہم تو اس سے بھی زیادہ کمزور ہے. اللہ تیری رحمت کی رسی ہمارے اوپر یا اللہ وہ جھکر جائے, اللہ اس کو تو باندھ لے. اللہ تیری رحمت کے سہارے سے ہم چلتے رہے. اللہ کریم فتنوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, شیطان کے مکر و فریب سے اللہ ہماری حفاظت فرما. اللہ کریم نفس, برے نفس سے یا اللہ ہماری حفاظت فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقی محمد وعلى آله وصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.